Hello, everybody, and welcome to Whispers Radio here on AM 1600 WKKX, the Valley's Watchdog, and UPRN, the UFO Paranormal Radio Network. It is 6:17 here in this lovely afternoon, evening. I'm Jordan Klein, Biff Leonard in the booth, Lola laughing at the door, and Sarah here with me. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
What do you mean you're not laughing at the door? Really? It's not funny. Our guest tonight, Ms. Lorna Byrne, is in Ireland, and apparently there's more of a time difference than she expected, and she was supposed to call about a half hour ago. So here we are, live radio, and no Lorna. So hopefully she calls here soon, or Biffy can figure something out. Until then, I'd love to open up some lines for some call-ins, because it's the end of the year. Lola's leaving. Lola's in a play. Bye, darling.
Bye, Lola.
Give us a call, 304-214-1600. If you're out of the area, 1-866-514-1600. It's the end of the year. I want to let everybody know, next week, supposedly, we have Echo Bodine. She's talking about some ghosts. You know, that's always a fun topic. It will be our last show of the year. Now, we're taking... What's the dates? Check on that. But it's the last 2 weeks, the last two Mondays in December.
The 19th off, 26th off, and the 2nd.
And January 2nd. We're taking that off, too, because we didn't figure anybody wanted to be nuzzled around a radio right after New Year's. So, yeah, who's got some ghosty stories out there? Nothing like relying on somebody to call in. You having any luck, Biff?
Fingers crossed.
Fingers are crossed, too, maybe. You got any more ghost stories for us?
No, but you should share some of yours from when you were when you were younger.
Let's see, some ghost stories. Let's see, I lived in a haunted house when I was younger. My little brother, he used to see things all the time. He's 16 now, 17 maybe? 16. We never, like, it was when he was a baby. I remember we were in this house, and, like, his toy room, you know, all the toys would come on by themselves. The house was, like, in the middle of a graveyard. Like, there was old stones around it. You know, they'd always catch his eye. You know, he was a baby, he couldn't really talk. Well, as he got a little older, you know, I remember one time we were painting the toy room, so we moved all the toys into his bedroom, and, you know, the crib was there, and he was in that stage where he was, like, moving to the big boy bed, you know, the little race car bed, but we had all the toys covered in that, so he was laying down in the crib, and I remember, you know, my mom and I heard something, and we walked in, and here he is, like, pulling his blanket, and he's like, no, my blankie, and he's just, like, standing in the crib, like, pulling his blanket, which was, like, creepy, right? Like, to say the least.
Very creepy.
So my mom grabs him, right, and takes him to her room, and says, you know, well, you're gonna sleep with me tonight, you know, you can sleep with mommy, and, they're laying down, and the wall, they share a wall, that room, his room and my mom's room, like, shared a wall. So he, like, sits up in bed, and he goes, good night, baby, mommy, say night to the baby, and, like, starts waving, like, he's following something to the wall, like, it's getting ready to walk through the wall. He's like, night, baby, mommy, say night. My mom was, like, freaked out.
I would be, too, if my child decides to say goodnight to something that's not there.
It was really creepy. I know, she knew a lady that was a psychic,
mm-hmm.
or, you know, ended up knowing her afterwards. But she shows up there, and the lady's like, oh, my gosh, what's going on with your house? My mom's like, well, what are you talking about? She's like, well, there's these four gravestones, you know, out by a tree, you know, blah, blah. There's these kids that are in your house. My mom's like, get out of here. You know, so we go out, and there's, like, this tree, you know, and then there's, like, these big rocks, and we flip over those rocks, and there's names on the rocks.
How long did you live there?
2 or 3 years.
Did he keep seeing things?
Well, we go to another house. More weird stuff starts happening. I think this was in Smyrna, Delaware. For those of you out there, it's like a little colonial area near Dover, Delaware. It's like a street long. You know, so we're in this place, and all this weird stuff starts happening, right?
Okay.
The place was actually part of the Underground Railroad. Biffy's sweating. He's working hard, so if anybody wants to bring Biff cookies, do it. Again, we are opening up the lines if you want to call in, 1-866-514-1600 if you're out of the area. 304-214-1600 if you're in the area. Biff, we anywhere with this?
Sure enough. Got the time difference off.
Yeah?
So she is going to get a hold of Lorna, and we're going to wait for her to call.
Gotta love it.
I told him, I said, yeah, it's 6:21 our time. She was like, oh my goodness. So she's going to call Lorna, and she hopefully we'll get a hold of her, and she will call us.
Gotta love live radio, right? Thank you for trying to push it back as much as you got any ghost stories, Biff? You're never here when we talk
you
about ghost stories.
You didn't finish yours.
I could talk all night, but I want to hear something from Biffy.
Actually, I don't think I have any.
None?
No, huh?
Nothing weird.
No, nothing.
Ever.
You ever see a UFO, Bigfoot?
No UFO or Bigfoot. No.
John running naked through your apartment one night? No.
No, not that. I have heard stuff. I've heard of a crazy ghost story. Someone.
Where at?
A house that I was working at one time with my dad.
Yeah? What happened?
We got done working, and it was one of those jobs where a bunch of different people were in doing different things, and we had left, and there was a guy that was finishing the floors. They were getting floors finished in this place, and he was there late, and when he got done, he thought that he saw a little girl.
Really?
Holding a cabbage, or not a cabbage, patch doll, but some type of doll down the other end of this hall. And we got in the next morning, and the guys that were there and the one guy didn't look too good. And we had asked what happened, and he told us. And it so happens that a couple weeks ago, my father was at a job by himself. And the people he was working with, he was explaining to them where we had worked a couple weeks ago, and apparently jokingly, one of the people asked, "Well, does the little girl still haunt the house?" And my dad said he got chills because he'd remembered that the story that the guy told, and he looked at him and said, "It's funny you should say that because we heard a story of the same exact story that she had told was the same one that the guy had told us."
That gave me some little chilies on my arm too. Oh, yeah.
But that's about it.
Can you imagine like working on a house and they like turn it up and there's just like a little girl there?
That and some of the lights that they had turned off before mysteriously were still on.
Really?
Were on, yeah.
That's like I was telling about the house and my little brother was, you know, good night, baby. The power was out, and then you know how you have the lights over top of the oven? It's like the push button, like, clicks.
Yeah.
It's like, click, click, click. Well, it was like, the power was out of the house. It's like a storm outside, and all of a sudden you just hear, click. It's like, and the light's going on and off above the above the stove.
Yeah,
and we're like, let's not go into the kitchen.
No kitchen tonight. We're staying here. But yeah, I mean that would be kind of creepy. All of a sudden, just out of nowhere, every so often you hear a click, and then you see lights flickering, and oh.
Yeah, I think she just tried calling my cell phone.
My aunt's house is haunted by a ghost named Sarah.
Really?
Ironically enough. Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. In her old house, anyway, she would turn it off and on the TV. She would move things in the house and. Different, like she would, one night, I think, if I remember correctly, she tucked in my nephew one time, or my cousin one time. Like,
really?
The ghost tucked him in when he was a little baby. It was weird.
That is pretty great. I remember
she would never do anything mean. She was always nice. She never hurt anybody. She's still there.
I think when we had Jim Harold on, he was telling us the story about the nurse that was a ghost. I don't know if you remember that.
Yeah, I remember that.
Where she walked into that room every day and was like asking for tea.
Uh-huh.
Like if the guy wanted tea, and he's like, oh, well, that nurse has been, well, there's no nurse out there.
You know? Yeah. And then the butterflies.
Now, finishing my story, when we were in Smyrna, my little brother, he'd always be like, the guys in the basement are always really nice. You know, the guys in the basement are really, and we were like, what? You're goofball, you know? Well, it turns out in the basement, it actually had tunnels from the Underground Railroad.
Uh-huh.
So, like, you go down there and you can see where, like, the tunnel was closed up, stuff like that. It was, like, hidden. So that was, like, really crazy.
That is crazy.
The guys down in the basement are really nice.
Yeah.
We good, Biff? No?
Okay. It happens.
So how we doing?
Still trying to get a hold of her.
Oh, I love it.
That's okay. 10 till 7, she's going to call us.
Yeah, we'll have a couple minutes.
Yeah.
Hi, Lorna. Bye, Lorna.
It was good talking to you. You know.
You know the years. Let's see. So give us a call, 304-214-1600. I'm sure somebody out there is still listening to me. Give me a hand here. It's going to be a long hour for me anyway. You guys can just turn the dial.
Throw us a bone.
Throw me a bone here. You can talk to me. I know you guys have stories because the lines are nonstop on Halloween. Who's got a Christmas ghost story? Like Ebenezer Scrooge? You know, he had three ghosts, didn't he?
Yep.
Is that story?
Past, present, future.
304-214-1600. 1-866-514-1600. That's toll free. Who we got, Biff?
Barb.
Hey, Barb. Help me out.
Hey, you're doing okay.
Oh, I'm sweating bullets here.
You ask about a Christmas story. My grandfather passed away. My daughter, it was a week after my daughter's first birthday, and we were always real close.
Uh-huh.
And the whole family was close at that time. And
how long ago was this? Because your daughter's older now, right?
She's 23.
Yeah.
So he's been gone quite a while. Well, he got me a Christmas cactus that year, and he died suddenly. There was nothing wrong. He just got up one morning, went to the bathroom, and he was gone. So that thing never bloomed. Never bloomed, and it was just, you know, it lived for like 2 years, but it never bloomed. And I was down in the dumps one day and just feeling really bad. And I was like, Grandpa, just give me a sign that you're okay.
Yeah.
Because it was around the time that he passed away again, you know. You get back in that rut when it's that date again. 3 days later, that Christmas cactus bloomed for the first time.
In years.
And it never did again.
Wow. Yeah.
Never did again. It bloomed that one time after I asked him for a sign.
Wow.
So that kind of helped me let go of the grief and stuff, you know. And I can't grow silk flowers. I mean, plastic plants die in my house. And that thing, it hung on, but never bloomed. And only that one time after I asked him to give me a sign, and that's the last Christmas present he'd ever bought me.
The cactus?
So, a Christmas cactus, they're called, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's a special cactus, yeah.
That's pretty neat.
Yeah, it was. It made me feel better, you know. So I thought I'd share.
Well, thank you. You saved me a little bit.
You gave me goosebumps.
Hopefully she'll call.
You gave Sarah goosebumps.
Well, good. Well, get one. Well, I guess it has to be from the person that passed. It was weird. It was, because that thing just would not do anything.
Do you still have it?
No, it finally did. That was 22 years ago. It finally did. Like I said, things don't grow well for me.
Well, it's hard to kill a cactus. You only got to, like, water it once a year.
Like, yeah.
It doesn't rain much in the desert.
My mom had a forest in her house, and I can't grow weeds. So, but all right, guys, keep it up. Hang in there.
Hey, thanks for calling.
All righty, honey. Bye bye.
See ya. Anybody else got any Christmas stories? Christmas, I guess I don't want to say not necessarily ghost stories, but any kind of paranormal thing happened during Christmas. 304-214-1600. 1-866-514-1600.
I wouldn't think of Christmas as anything strange or bizarre happening, because you associate Christmas with, you know, the season and spending time with family and happy times, and not really a time for bizarre stuff to happen, but apparently it does.
Well, it does. I mean, if you really get into, I guess, Christmas history, right, it's actually formed, like, as many people that are going to get angry with me, Jesus wasn't born on December 25th. There wasn't even calendars back then. You know, so He wasn't. He was born in, like, the fall, October, or something like that. But when the Catholic Church, you know, during the line was going through and, bringing all the pagan, religions and stuff like that, they were joining, celebrations and stuff like that. And it was time of the winter solstice. Well, there was a lot of spiritual stuff that was included with the winter solstice. You know, you get Yuletide and stuff like that. It's all really interesting. So not necessarily paranormal, but there's a lot of rituals that go back into pagan things around this time.
We're in the two-minute warning.
For what? For Lorna?
We may have a call in 2 minutes.
Well, how about that? Well, she'll have a couple minutes of a show to join in.
Sorry, it's better than nothing.
It is. But did you catch anything I said? Because I know you're on the phone.
No, huh? I was busy getting that.
Well, in the winter, around Christmas time is the winter solstice.
Oh, yeah.
You know, a lot of pagan holidays and stuff like that, the big celebrations were this time of year. You know, so not necessarily the bad things happen, but, you know, sometimes we get a little extra little glitch of something going on that might be good. Uh-oh. Is that her? Are we good?
We're good.
Miss Lorna Byrne, Angels in My Hair, is her book, The True Story of a Modern Day Irish Mystic. Lorna.
How are you, Jordan?
How are you?
Grand. I heard there was a mix-up.
Yeah, there's a little I had a feeling all day. I sent a few emails out, but I guess they didn't go through.
Yeah, I think they must have got lost in, what do they call it, cyberspace.
Yeah, it's lost in the cyberspace. Your book, Angels in My Hair, The True Story of a Modern Day Irish Mystic. Now, you say that you've been seeing angels ever since you were born, I mean, practically.
Yeah, I always say since the moment I opened my eyes, because I don't know any time of not seeing angels, and I see them physically. And, you know, I see the guardian angel with every single man, woman, and child, regardless of their religion or their beliefs. Just as you would if you were walking down the street and seeing people walking past you. I see the people, but I see the guardian angel as well.
Really?
Yeah, definitely.
Now, do any, like, two people share a guardian angel? Or does everybody get their own?
No, everyone has their own. I'd only see one guardian angel with each person, and your guardian angel never leaves you for 1 second, so you're never, never alone. And your guardian angel is the gatekeeper of your soul, and that has been a wonderful comfort to thousands of people all around the world, just to know that, you know, because, you know, when someone's going through a hard time or even a happy time, they were saying it's wonderful to know that a guardian angel is there and to listen to them.
Now, are you able to communicate or anything with the angels?
Yeah, on different occasions. You know, if I'm walking down a crowded street, or say I'm sitting on a bus or maybe in a taxi or something like that, sometimes someone's guardian angel would communicate with me and tell me something of that person. But that doesn't mean I'd go up to that person and say, listen, your guardian angel said such and such. It would usually be that the guardian angel would be asking me to pray for them for some reason.
Really? So, I mean, like, how do they speak? Because, you know, you think angels, you think, like, this big booming voice. And
That's a question I've never been asked in that way. No, their voice doesn't sound booming as in the way you're saying in that way. Sometimes it does sound a little way off, but in fact, I think it usually sounds soft. And, you know, guardian angels are neither male nor female either. So sometimes they will give a male appearance within themselves or a female appearance, but at other times I couldn't tell you whether they were male or female. Just in case you needed to know that.
Yeah.
I didn't know, like...
Well, I'm sure I would have popped that question sooner or later.
No, I know. I have actually never really thought about their voice as in the way you have asked. You know, the angel Michael, who's been in my life, you know, since as long as I can remember as well.
Is this like the biblical angel Michael, or is this a personal angel?
Well, he is. He's not my guardian angel. He is just one of the angels, and he is biblical. But I didn't know at the time because I was only a child. It was only years later.
Uh-huh.
And it was the angel Michael who gave me the prayer that's in the book Angels in My Hair as well. One of the other angels who's in my life as well is Angel Elijah. And when I was only about 10 years of age, and when I was out fishing with my dad, I'll just tell you this quick little story.
Okay.
I was out fishing with my dad, and the angels had said to me, you know, go up along the river to play, that there was a very important angel for me to meet. And when I did go up along the riverbank, this beautiful angel, just enormous in size, you know, and dressed, gave a male appearance, and dressed in all a color now that I love. You know those amber colors?
Uh-huh.
And like as if the clothing was wrapped around him. And he actually walked across the water. And the first thing I said to him, because you have to remember I was only 10,
yeah,
was, can I not do that? And he said no, and I was actually very, very disappointed because I was only 10, so it would be the most natural thing for me to say. But he told me he had something very important to tell me and to show me, and it was like as if it was a big screen or curtain he pulled back that was across the river,
uh-huh.
And he showed me a young man. And he told me this was the young man I would marry, you know, and fall in love with him. And I just looked at him, you know, and gave a big smile. I wasn't interested in falling in love with anyone at the age of 10, if you know what I mean in that way. But he told me, you know, I would marry this young man and that we wouldn't grow old together, you know, that we'd have children and we'd have ups and downs. And the part that, what would you say, was the hardest for me from the time I was 10 was him telling me that, you know, we wouldn't grow old together, that he would become ill, would get sick. And I said to the angel Elijah, I said, why did you have to tell me that? And he just said, I needed to know. And it was many years later when I was grown and I was working in the petrol station. And I see this young man walking up the road, and I recognized him straight away. And I knew exactly where he was going. I knew he was actually going to come into the garage because there happened to be a job going, and I knew he was going to ask for, you know, for the job. And I knew he was going to get it. And even in my excitement, and yet, well, how can I put it, you know, the pain as well of knowing that I would fall in love with him and him with me, but that we wouldn't grow old together.
Yeah, it's got to be tough.
You know, that was really, really hard.
It's almost like knowing the day you're going to die.
Yeah, you know, it was really, really hard. So I was excited on one level and sad on another. And, of course, Joe was the man I did marry, and we didn't grow old together. You know, he died about 10 years ago. And lots of people would ask, you know, and say to me, you know, why didn't you tell them? But I would say to people, you don't tell someone that they're going to die or you're going to get ill or anything like that, because they have to live their life. And the important thing was for Joe to live his life to the fullest as he possibly could.
So you never told him?
I never told him, no. No, not at all. And even as a child, you know, the angels told me I must keep it a secret, and Joe knew very little, except for I had to tell him, because the angels had said you have to tell him that you see angels. And when I was going out with him, I said to him one day after being out on a date and sitting in the car, and I said to him, by the way, Joe, I have something to tell you, and he just looks at me, you know, as if, you know, what on earth could you possibly have to tell him? And he says, I said to him, by the way, I see angels. And I just always remember him looking out through the front windscreen of the car, holding onto the steering wheel, looking at me, and just saying, Lorna, only nuns and priests see angels, not ordinary people like you and me. And I just gave him a peck on the cheek and ran into the house, saying to the angels, it was over. That was it.
Wow.
You know, but it wasn't. I'm here talking to you.
Now, this might seem like a weird question, and I'm sorry if it sounds, you know, just don't take offense. It's just, I want to understand, okay?
Yeah.
Now, you say that the angels are with us all the time.
They are.
Now,
an angel.
In my mind, I think, like, movie situations, right? And I, you know, I'm a sucker for a good comedy. So, in my mind, I'm picturing, like, everybody piling into a taxi cab, like, shoulder to shoulder, squeeze it in, and if their guardian angels are in there, like, I'm picturing somebody, like, seeing angels and then, like, seeing, like, all these people, like, a clown car, like, squeezing in. Like, are they with them in every situation like that all the time? Or?
They are, and that's actually something that I actually don't understand myself, even when I'm giving a talk and there's hundreds of people there. And the guardian angel is actually, I always say, three steps behind everybody and yet all around you. I don't know how angels and ourselves can fit into a squashed area, but yet when I look at the person and their guardian angel, there always seems to be plenty of room. So I actually don't understand that myself either.
Okay, so you see them actually with them at all times?
At all times, yeah.
Okay, I hope and you didn't take offense to that.
Oh, God, no, ask me whatever you want. No, not at all. Because I see the guardian angel with every single human being, and the important thing is it doesn't matter what religion you are or what beliefs you have, or even if you say, listen, I'm complete skeptic, I don't believe at all. I haven't as yet, and I hope I never do, I haven't seen any man, woman, or child without a guardian angel. I don't know what I would do if, in traveling around the world, that I did see someone without a guardian angel.
Would that make you sad?
I think I would be actually in a state, terrible state of shock, because I know something would be terrible wrong.
Well,
if
let me
that happened.
Let me ask you this, because I want to say, like, you know, biblically the demons are fallen angels. Like, can you see those malevolent spirits as well, or can you only see, like, the heavenly beings?
Maybe I should explain two things to you.
Okay.
And here I'm saying, well, I explain the first one first, or the second one. When I was, you know, just an infant, I saw the angels, and I still do to this very, very day. They are my best friends, my companions, and they're my teachers. They've taught me everything. But when I was very small, I used to see my little brother in my mom's arms asleep as an infant. And sometimes he would be my age as a toddler, maybe 2 years of age, and he would be playing with me, and sometimes he would be older. Now, I didn't know, because you have to remember I was only a toddler myself, and I didn't know that my little brother had died before I was born, because I didn't see anything wrong in him being an infant in my mom's arms, or my age playing with me, or even older. But it was a day that we were sitting in front of the fire. My dad had made blocks for me, and I was actually playing with my brother Christopher with the blocks. We were stacking them up on top of each other. And it was on this particular day that our hands touched. It was like as if his went into mine and mine went into his, and it just all sparkled. And I just laughed. It just felt so wonderful. And it was actually at that moment, at that age, the angels had said to me, you know, that they were angels, but my brother was a soul, that my brother had died before I was born. And they told me to keep it a secret. And even at that age, you know, so young, I kept it a secret. And it was just as I grew as a child, by hearing comments from people, that I realized, you know, how important it was to keep it a secret, because I was, I can't pronounce this word now very well, dyslexic, and no, probably.
Dyslexic?
Wrongly. Yeah.
Okay.
And I have learning difficulties, reading and writing, but okay. In Ireland way back then, they didn't know what that was. And because I had those difficulties, the doctors had told my parents I was retarded. But if I didn't keep it a secret, as the angels had said, and said to my mom and dad, you know, or even my sister, you know, that there was an angel beside them, I wouldn't actually be talking to you today. I wouldn't even have written the book Angels in My Hair, because I would have been put into an institution.
Wow. That's...
You know, I know that's hard, but that's the understanding, you know, of the people in Ireland way back then, and I'm sure right across the world as well. You know, children were branded so easily in that way. And you asked another, what was the other part of the question you asked? I actually have forgotten.
I was asking if you saw any, like, demonic spirits as well.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And it was 10 years later when I was married to my husband, Joe. How can I just cut the story short? All as I can say to you then, because it's in Angels in My Hair, God introduced me to Satan one evening in the bedroom, and Satan was on the left.
So you actually saw him?
Oh, I actually saw him. And I had to choose God. I had to actually say it three times that I chose God over Satan. He does exist, but I always say to people, because people would say to me, you know, do bad people have guardian angels? And I'm afraid they do. Everyone has a guardian angel, and I know that's hard for us to understand at times, you know. But what was I saying? Sorry, I'm getting lost again.
Let me ask you this. Are the guardian angels for the, I guess, bad people, are they, you know, good angels, or are they...
They are God's angels. God has given every single human being a guardian angel, and your guardian angel came from heaven with you before you were even conceived.
Do they, like, walk around disappointed looking? That, like, the person's making bad choices?
I've never seen a guardian angel. Your guardian angel never gives up on you. So your guardian angel, I have never seen a guardian angel... in the sense of the understanding that we have, you know, feel let down by somebody doing something bad.
Uh-huh.
And when someone does something wrong, even, you know, telling a lie or even being mean or selfish, I had to see the guardian angel actually loving them and actually trying to encouraging them to do the right thing, not to tell the lie or not to be selfish or mean. You know, when you get those guilty feelings.
Yeah.
That's your guardian angel. And I remember now what I was going to say to you earlier.
Okay.
Might help you. People ask that question, do bad people have guardian angels? And yes, they do. Your guardian angel never gives up on you. It's the gatekeeper of your soul. And it loves you unconditionally either way. And your one thing God has, and I always say to people, to remember what I actually say, God has never shown me God sending anyone to hell, but that doesn't mean that no soul goes there. I just hope that we all somehow make it to heaven on some kind of miracle.
Yeah, go ahead.
Because none of us know that at the last minute of death, or the last microsecond, whatever you'd like to call it, of death, that someone doesn't ask for forgiveness, no matter how bad they are. But Satan does exist and hell does, but God has never shown me him sending any soul to hell. That's the only way I can put it.
Well, grace is a beautiful thing.
It is.
Sarah has a question.
I actually have two questions. One, have you ever seen your guardian angel, and what do they look like? And then, the people who pass on, are their guardian angels designated to somebody else?
No. Your second question is, your guardian angel comes with you from heaven and goes back with you to heaven. And your guardian angel is never anyone else's guardian angel. But your guardian angel will be with you in heaven as well, but doesn't have to stay constantly with you. And your guardian angel prays for the souls of your family that are still living.
Okay.
Wow.
Okay. And I know there was another question you asked.
What does your guardian angel look like?
Actually, I'm not allowed to answer that question.
Oh, okay.
I haven't been able, been allowed to. That's one thing. If there's something I'm not allowed to give an answer to, I'll I'll say it to you.
Okay.
Now, are you not allowed to give an answer of what any angel looks like, or is it more?
Oh, yeah. No, I can tell you. Angels are creatures that God created, and they are extremely beautiful. I've never seen what we would call an ugly angel. They are absolutely beautiful.
Do they look like people, or are they more light-based?
They give within themselves. This is the only way I can explain it, because only for they give a human appearance within themselves, I actually couldn't describe them. They are extremely beautiful, and at times they're so bright, and sometimes you would see beautiful different colors, and even the colors sometimes I find hard to describe, or even the clothing that they may be wearing. Sometimes I actually see wings with feathers, but the wings to be fantastic. You know the way we see birds' wings and they look beautiful, but angels' wings, if they show feathers, they're absolutely incredible. And sometimes it's not of feathers. The only way I can describe is it's like as if they're long and sleek, and sometimes like silk or moving air. It's the only way I can describe them. Their wings are beautiful when I'm allowed to see them. Now, I don't always. And so, angels' feet don't touch the ground. So, another bit of information.
So when when you see these beings, creatures, I know there's the Book of Enoch, which is about more classification of angels and stuff like that. Is there, do you ever see, like, because it talks about the angels that have wings over their feet and wings over their eyes and wings over, do you see anything, or do you just see, like, the more classic, just the wings on their back?
I see the angel or the wings from behind, but they do go from, how would I say, the full length and then way up above.
Okay.
But it's very rare. I think what they mean by feathers on the eyes is sometimes an angel's face is so beautiful and their faces can be so different. That sometimes it depends on what features the angel gives within the face. But I wouldn't actually see feathers on the eyes as in that sense. But it would be something maybe, I don't know how to describe it, just incredible eyelashes then.
Uh-huh.
Maybe that's the way. Angels are just beautiful, just like the unemployed angels. Again, they neither show male or female, but yet there's millions of them in the world that have been poured down onto the earth. So I always tell people to ask your guardian angel to have unemployed angels in and around you to help you, because I could be walking down the street and just watch them encouraging people and offering help. But if you ask...
I think we always call them the ministering angels.
Is that what you call them? Yeah. Well, I call them the unemployed angels.
I like that. That gave me a little chuckle. The unemployed angels. let's see. I got a lot of questions, but I'm cutting in half here.
Do they always look the same?
No, guardian angels don't look like unemployed angels, or even, Angel Michael, who's been in I have particular angels separate from my guardian angel that have been in my life right up to this very day. And the Angel Michael, anytime he appears, wherever I am, sometimes he gives such a human appearance that someone actually might say hello. And that happened once in the college in Maynooth. He was walking with me, and he was dressed in clothing as if a priest.
Mm-hmm.
And I never expected this to happen, but there was two priests coming towards us with their Bibles or their prayer books in their hands. And I was walking with Michael, and they turned. As they were passing, they say, "Hello, Father." They acknowledge Michael, the angel Michael, but not myself. And that's what makes me smile, yes, because people do see angels when an angel makes themselves look so human, but they're perfect. And I just smile, and I often wonder, you know, will someday maybe those priests read the book Angels in My Hair and remember saying hello to another priest that they never saw again.
Wow.
You know what I mean? Because it would be lovely to hear from them, but I haven't.
We had a caller call in and ask, is a guardian angel the same thing as a spirit guide?
I think so. I think that's what people may call sometimes a guardian angel, but you have to remember your guardian angel allows in other angels around you to help you in your life as well as the soul of loved ones or those that were in your family or say close friends or relatives in some way. But they come and go. You have to remember it's your guardian angel that remains with you every second, never leaves you for one second. But other angels come and go, and that could be spirit guides that your guardian angel is allowing in around you to help you. And sometimes, as I said, the soul of someone you loved or someone you knew, because you have to remember, you can feel the presence of a soul more than you would any angel most of the time, because most of us, that's what we feel. But as well, angels are wonderful for giving us signs as well within our lives. And that's why I always say to people, you know, you should ask for signs. You know, it's because we're always looking for proof. People are always looking for proof.
Yeah.
You know, so ask, but try and listen and try and recognize them when they do come, because many a time a guardian angel would say to me, I have sent this person 101 different signs over the last short period of time and they haven't recognized any of them. And sometimes that happens because we think they're not good enough.
Yeah. Lorna, we are out of time, and I want to...
Okay.
We're going to have to try to figure out a time we can have you back on.
Okay.
This coming year, we can communicate a little gooder.
Okay.
Because I'm so interested, and I'd love to really get in deep with this stuff, but just with time restraints, we can't do that.
Okay, that's fine. I have enjoyed talking with you.
We've enjoyed talking with you, too. Your website is lornabyrne.com. That's LORNABYRNE.com.
That's right.
And where can people get your book?
You can get it on Amazon and on the website. I have a prayer scroll and, you know, questions people can ask as well.
All right. Lorna, thank you very much for calling in. We will talk again. Thank you very much.
Okay. Thank you. Lovely talking with you.
See ya.
And your friend there. I don't know her name.
Sarah.
Sarah.
And thank you, Sarah.
Thank you very much. I really enjoyed our conversation.
Same here. Right. God bless.
Bless
bye
you.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Next week, Echo Bodine. And remember, that is our last show of the year. Thank you for those of you that stuck it out here with me. Until next week, don't be afraid, only believe.